to share today. I tell you, it's awesome to be able to celebrate in baptism, because that's really the best news of all, is that people go from dead to life and lost to found, right? Like that is why Jesus came. That is the best news of all right there. But the truth of the matter is, life can be pretty messy sometimes, can it? Right? We are surrounded by messages, either from outside of ourselves or even sometimes just from ourselves, that sound like pretty bad news about our own lives and where we're going and where we're going to end up and who we're going to be. But I just praise God for the fact that those messages that we might hear are not the truth about our lives. But rather, we have some good news that is here for us. Now, what's very, very interesting about how God works is that He has this way of bringing the best news to light in some of the strangest circumstances. Right? That's just kind of how God sort of has a pattern of doing this, right? He'll wait until it seems like defeat is inevitable. And then that's when He'll show up and say, I'm here to save the day. Y'all chill out. We're good, right? He has this way, but yet as those that are following Jesus, many times it's so hard to remember that Jesus has this way of showing up when we need Him the most. Many times because of the brokenness that we have felt and experienced in our lives, because of just how messy our lives have become, we lose track of the fact that the Word of God is still true even in our brokenness. So what we're going to do today is we're actually going to talk about the brokenness that we find ourselves in, but then even how God is at work in that and how He does the most peculiar things at the times where we would probably least expect it. So, in just a moment, we're going to read out of Luke chapter 2, but before we get to that, I would like for you to pray with me. Lord God, we do thank You so much for Your presence here among us. We thank You, God, that You have good news for us today. I thank You, Lord, for the expression of new life that we've been able to celebrate in baptism today, God. And I thank You, Lord, for the life that comes from Your Word. God, I just ask in the name of Jesus that You would help us to hear from You even now. Lord, that whatever good news You're wanting to fill us with, God, I just pray You put us in a position where we can really hear from You and say yes to You. Lord, give us the courage to say yes to You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2. And I want to start in verse 1 and read down through verse 14 here. This is what is probably come to be known as the most traditional Christmas story, right? If you read the Christmas story in your home, this is probably the chapter that you're reading out of the Bible at your house. And it goes, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child, which, might I add, parenthetically, was not his. Verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, we read this story so often that sometimes we sort of just get the nativity scene in our minds, and we think, okay, like that's just what it is, and that's great and all, but there really is so much behind this that I really need you to receive this morning, right? Because as the angels are singing glory to God in the highest, Mary and Joseph are going through a whole nother thing, right? The shepherds as well are going through a whole nother thing. So Mary and Joseph are told that this child whom she will give birth to is the Savior of the world. You would think that would be a position of status that would bring you to, right? Like, surely, if you are giving birth to the Savior of the world, you're going to be able to have some influence on some people, right? But not them. No, they find themselves during this census to where they have nowhere to stay. Imagine for Joseph, his firstborn son, which is not his firstborn son, right? And there's, I can't even imagine all the complications that go with that. Is born in a has to be placed in a manger. Like, that is the best place that they have for this child. Like, I don't know what kind of rough spot you've been in your life. Maybe you've dealt with poverty in such a way that you have found yourself living in places where you would really have liked not to have been. I can only imagine that for Joseph, it's one thing to be in a place where he would rather not be. It's a whole other thing to know that now you are responsible for a child who is in a place where you would not want that child to be, right? So you have Joseph, who has been told that this child is going to be the Savior of the world, and yet he can't even provide a room for him. Again, I don't know what all was going through Joseph's mind. I wish the Bible told us a little more detail in that regard, just because. But I know that for my children, if there was a day when I couldn't, that I couldn't provide a roof over their head, that would be difficult, right? That would be hard. That would lead me to a place of brokenness that would be very difficult to deal with. Be very difficult. Yet, actually, before I get there. So then you've got these shepherds, right? So they're shepherds. Let's just be honest. They're doing work, right? They're punching in, they're punching out, they're getting paid. Like, that's what they're doing, right? It's their job. There was no Christmas holiday at this point. It's not like they're working overtime or the slave driver boss is kind of giving them up. They're just out doing work, all right? That's just all it is. But, I mean, let's be honest. There probably isn't a high level of skill that is required to be a shepherd, right? Even if you're not the one in charge, right? Maybe to be in charge, you got to have some experience there. You really got to kind of know yourself. But not everybody there was like they probably just couldn't have gone out and gotten whatever job they wanted, right? They probably weren't shepherds because they thought that was the best job available. They probably were there because they didn't have many other options available to them. Smack in the middle of this field, you've got these angels that show up here, right? And they start telling them, well, first of all, it's so frightening that the shepherds are actually frightened, terrified, actually. And up says, hey, don't be scared. Like, today, in the town of David, a Savior is born. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's not just this one angel who's like talking to the shepherds, like, hey, like, this is an awesome day. You guys got to go check this out. Now there's this whole host of angels that is there. And they all start singing glory to God in the highest. And these shepherds, I wish the Bible told us a little bit about what they were thinking in those little brains there. But it doesn't give us a lot. But I can't even imagine, like 5 minutes ago, we're sitting here just making sure that none of these sheep run off a cliff somewhere. And now we got these angels that are out here talking about the Savior of the world. It had to have been so confusing. Like, that this message of joy would show up in just ordinary life. Right? Like, no wonder they were terrified. Like, how confusing must that have been? Because for them, I'm sure they were just thinking, you know what? It's just another day. Like, I punched in this morning, I'm going to punch out tonight. Like, I'm going to do my shift and I'm going to go home. Like, it's just another day. What is the big deal? I think the Lord showed me what the big deal was here. Watch this now. Because the shepherds didn't know what was going on with Jesus, but the angels did. So the angels had joy because they were living by a set of reality that the shepherds were not yet privy to. They didn't know about the Savior of the world yet. They didn't know that Jesus had been born. They didn't know that all their sins were about to be taken care of. They didn't know that they were about to get some new life up in them. Right? Like, all they knew was punch in, punch out, make sure the sheep doesn't go off a cliff. But the angels had this whole other mindset that they were living by. I need you to hold on to that for me for just a moment. Hold on to that for me for just a moment. Let me keep reading here. Verse 15. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened which the Lord told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, which, first of all, I just want to stop here just a moment to say, like, if that's not the craziest way to say that the Savior of the world just came in, like, the proof of the fact that he's the Savior of the world is you're going to find him in a feeding trough. If that ain't how God does things, that's just so God. Right? That he would just pick the most obscure way to be able to announce the Savior of the world. And by the way, shepherds, you'll know it's him if you find the homeless kid in the feeding trough. Right? Like, that's the one. All right. Verse 17. I'm not making it up. It's really in there. That really is what it is. Verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Watch this now, because the shift that just happened in these shepherds, right? So the shepherds are blown away enough by the joy of the angels to at least say, okay, I'm going to go figure out, like, what they're talking about, right? They get there, and they see the manger with this baby in it, and they're like, the angels, like, what they told us, like, they said, like, this is the guy, right? They are so blown away about it, they start talking, right? Oh, you guys are never going to believe it. We were just out in the field. All of us were, I know, it wasn't just that, like, me personally. Like, all of us saw them. We saw these shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, right? And then, so we came here and we saw them. They told us there'd be a guy in a manger and everything. The baby is there. Like, that's the Savior of the world. And everybody around them is looking like, what is wrong with you? That's just them. Because everybody there was just doing life. They were doing the census that, let's be honest, nobody really wanted to do anyway. Nobody wanted to go back to Bethlehem and do all, like, nobody wanted to travel. I'm telling you right now, Mary and Joseph could have done it another way. They wouldn't have been in Bethlehem if they didn't have to be there, right? You think they're the only ones? Everybody else having to pick up life and go on a, they didn't want to be there. They're just trying to get done so they can get back and be done with all this census stuff. And right smack dab in the middle of it all, these crazy shepherds that everybody, let's be honest, everybody thinks those shepherds have been out there with the sheep a little too long, right? Can we just be real? Right? But they are losing their minds over the fact that what the angel said was actually true. And so now they're surrounded by all these people, of which, by the way, are Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph have been clued in a little bit here, but let's be real, like, they're having a baby. I'm pretty sure their attention's on that, right? I've never had a baby before. But I'm pretty sure if I did, my attention would be pretty focused on having that baby, right? And then the shepherds come, and in the midst of all of that, just the life stuff, they start telling everybody about this crazy joy that they've heard about, that this child is going to usher in. And so then, when they leave, they're telling everybody about all this. Now, again, watch this now. Because I'm sure there were some other shepherds out there that didn't see the angels the first time around. And so now these shepherds are going back and they're saying, y'all are never going to believe this. There's this angel. And he said, don't be terrified. And wow, and he's singing and everything. And then we go and he's in the manger and it's crazy. And Mary, she like ponders all this stuff. And then there's this joy that is just amazing. And now these shepherds are thinking, those shepherds have been out with the sheep too long, right? Because all those shepherds are doing is clocking in and clocking out and doing their shift and going on with life. But yet, now the shepherds are living by this whole other set of reality, this whole other set of understanding, this whole other set of what is true. It's not that it isn't true for everybody else. They just haven't been privy to the information yet. They haven't been privy to the revelation yet. And so they find themselves still in the brokenness that Jesus was born into. And they don't realize that they could be living in the joy that Jesus came to bring them. See, church, what I want you to recognize today is that Jesus, the Father, sent His Son, sent Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. The Father sent Jesus here into our brokenness as well, right? And because the Father sent the Son into our brokenness, we get to experience this whole other way of seeing life. And it looks a lot like this. I know some of you were really messed up about the fact that I didn't do this last week. But it's okay. But follow this illustration here. We have, believe it or not, this says brokenness. I know it's hard to read. It's all right. We have this brokenness that we've been born into because of the simple nature of this world and the simple nature of us individually. We have brokenness that has been given to us by other people and brokenness that we have given to ourselves. That we live in as a consequence of our own sin, too. But because Jesus comes into our lives in the midst of that brokenness, we are able to have our brokenness actually covered in joy. Watch this now, because this is so important for you to recognize that our brokenness does not have to be what our story is. Our brokenness is not where our story is designed to end. Brokenness was not where the shepherds were supposed to stop. They were not supposed to just stay out in the field and just clock in and clock out and make sure a sheep doesn't fall off a cliff. No, they were to go and to celebrate and enjoy the good news that the angels had told to them. Like even Mary, Joseph, all of us, even now, our brokenness is not the end of our story. Rather, our brokenness is the very place where Jesus will meet us. And it's in that brokenness that he will bring about a new understanding of our reality. Because then we begin to see things we didn't see before. Just like when the angels were with the shepherds, they knew some things from God that the shepherds didn't know at that point. When the shepherds went to Mary and Joseph, went to Bethlehem, they knew some things from God that the rest of them didn't know before. See, when we, as part of submitting our lives to Jesus Christ and walking by faith in him, is recognize that we're going to live our lives with an understanding, with the good news of knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might be raised up to be this army of disciple makers for him. When we submit to him in that way, we get to live in the joy that comes with it. The devil would have you believe that there is no hope, that there is no joy, that there is no other way except the brokenness that you're in. But church, I want you to know today, there's a whole nother set of reality out there. Maybe it's hard to remember sometimes because of the brokenness that we might find ourselves in. Maybe you didn't even know that this joy was a possibility. But I want you to know it is real, and it is here, and it is available for you. Now, here's the best part. Here's the best part. That in this story, we're all the shepherds. We're all the shepherds. See, we, in the midst of our day in, day out life, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our just the messiness of who we are, God is speaking into our lives even now. And he's telling us that your brokenness is not the end. Your brokenness is the messiness of your life does not keep me from doing what I want to do in your life. Church, I want you, just like the shepherds, I want you just to take a moment, not to be scared of it. Hear me now. Don't be terrified. Because I know it can be terrifying to think about that. Well, if I follow God, like if I really believe that Jesus lived, and I really believe that Jesus lived a perfect life, if I really believe that Jesus died on a cross to forgive my sins, if I really believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross so that I could like be empowered to live for him, if I really believe that, that means there are some things in my life that are going to need to change. And that idea of change can be terrifying, just like those shepherds out in the field. Oh, but do not be terrified. I bring you good news of a great joy. Oh, the Savior has been born to you, and he is not in Bethlehem. No, 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 no. He is right here, right now, ready to receive the faith that you have and will put in him. Oh, he's here. He's ready for you. But that's not the whole story for the shepherds, right? See, step one was that then they had to take that step of obedience to actually go to Bethlehem and see for yourself. And this is what I want you to know. If you take that step of faith toward Jesus, if you take that step of faith to say, I am actually going to believe it no matter what comes my way, I'm going to believe this good news. I'm not going to let the bad news tell me who I am anymore. I am going to believe the good news that God tells me through relationship with Jesus. When you do that and you take that step of faith toward him, he will confirm for you that he is with you. Just something crazy like the Savior of the universe and a man, a homeless kid in a feeding trough, right? Like, he will confirm that in your life. I just want you to know. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. I dare you to try to put your faith in God, to put your faith in a relationship with Jesus, and not see him move in your life. Yeah, no, I think I can say that. I think I can say that. I dare you to try to put your faith in Him and not see Him work in your life. Because I'm telling you right now, He will confirm His word in you. Don't be held back. Don't be terrified like shepherds out in a field. No, take that step of faith toward Him. But here's the next step, though, right? Because once they got there, then this shift happened in them. And now they were not the ones who were receiving the good news and the joy. Now they were the ones who were proclaiming the good news and the joy. See, church, come on now. This is disciples making disciples, right? I mean, this is what it is to be a follower of God. Like it is not just about receiving from God everything that He has for us, but it's about recognizing that part of what He gives us is a mission then to share that good news with others. See, the joy that we have is amazing for us. Why would we want to keep that to ourselves? If God has transformed our lives, if by the cross He has forgiven our sins and made us brand new, which the Bible tells us He does, if we have all that ourselves, if we've been filled with His joy, why wouldn't we want to give that to others? Oh, the shepherds had to give that to others. They couldn't hold it in. They had to get it out. Church, I want you to know, we have been given the mission to get it out, to let people know that their messiness does not keep God from working in their lives, that their brokenness is not beyond what Jesus can heal. Like it is our responsibility to take the bad news that people have been given and just cover it in the good news of Jesus Christ. You have that power. You have that good news. You have that message. And you have that testimony when you walk by faith in Him. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up now. And as they do, I want for us to really think about where we are in this whole story. Where we are in terms of what is influencing our lives, whether it's bad news or good news or brokenness or joy.
We have to get to a point where we recognize that God has been so good to us,
yes.
That we can't just hold the good news in ourselves.
Right, we can.
But we got to take it with us. We got to go.
Amen.
And for others, we got to recognize that this good news is not just something that we can see at a distance. No, this is something we've got to see, that we've got to act on, that we've got to move by faith forward. He will respond to our faith.
Amen.
I want you to stand with me, please. Stand with me, please. We're gonna sing a song here, and as you do, I want to invite you to do a couple of things here with me. One, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never actually put your faith in Him and say, you know what, Jesus, I am scared to death, but I hear the good news, and I want more of that, and I want to see your confirmation of that good news in my life. If today you say, you know what, I'm thinking that stuff, I'm going to follow Jesus, like, just like Jesse and Dolores have, like, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I don't know what all the world says is one day, but I'm going to trust Jesus with my life, because brokenness ain't doing me any good, so I'm going to surrender to Jesus, so at least I can live by joy. Joy is available to you today. You don't have to live in the brokenness of the devil and giving you in. So, brothers, maybe you've been walking in this joy for a while, but you've been holding on to it like it's just some sort of special gift just for you. Maybe the Lord has some people in mind, in your mind. Maybe the Lord has already put some people in your mind, but you're like, you know what? I need to be more intentional about sharing the good news. As we pray, these altars are open for you to come and kneel. If you'd like for me to pray with you, I would love to meet you and to pray with you. That would be incredible. Whatever it is, however it is God is in your life, as we sing this song, I want you to surrender yourself to Him now. Let Him have it.